Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Today's guest is Neil Shope. He joined Jake and Gino in 2018. Growing up in New York City and serving 24 plus years as a police officer and fireman, he came face to face with fear, learning how to harness its power and take action in his life rather than be frozen with this fear. Now his passion is helping others to do the same. Welcome to the show, Mr. Neil. How are we doing, brother?
I'm great, Gino. How are you? It's fantastic to be here.
I am doing really good on this lovely Friday afternoon. Let's jump into your story, Neil. I want to actually share the story of how I met Neil before Neil jumps into his story of getting into multifamily and his story. It was a nice warm day in St. Augustine. Neil was down here and we had just launched the Jake and Gino community. And Neil was skeptical about joining the Jake and Gino community. It was early on in Jake and Gino. We had very few programs. We really didn't have any kind of coaching. We just had some kind of online training. And Neil was wanting to get into multifamily. And I remember going out to lunch with Neil that day and sitting down and just having the casual conversation with him and talking about his goals and talking about his aspirations. And I could see that Neil was a little bit hesitant to join. He wasn't sure, is this guy Gino a scammer? Is this multifamily thing going to really work out? What am I getting myself into with these guys? And he ultimately joined. And I don't think it was the education or it was the Jake and Gino community. I think ultimately what it was for Neil and what it is for most of us out there is it's accountability and it's putting skin in the game and having a belief in yourself, putting in the hard work, and surrounding yourself with an amazing group of people. And that's what Neil did early on. And since then, he's come out to the Jake and Gino events. He was a fixture when we had Toastmasters for a couple of years at Jake and Gino on every week working on his craft. He actually got certified as a life coach. I'm jumping a little into his story, but I remember him reaching out to me and saying, hey, Gino, this life coaching thing, what's going on here? I'm like, Neil, I know somebody. I got a guy. In fact, I got a girl, her name is Julia, she'll hook you up. So from that first investment of $3,000 that seemed daunting, seemed overwhelming, seemed like it was an insurmountable amount of money at the time, saying, where's this money going to? I can sincerely say myself that I'm super proud of what Neil has done, and I'm holding up his book right here. He just ended up launching a book. And if I had said to Neil 5 years ago, Neil, you're going to be investing in multifamily, you're going to become a life coach, and you're going to be launching a book on Amazon. Would you believe me, Neil?
Absolutely not. 5 years ago, I was so far away from that. I was so removed from that vision that I would have thought you were completely nuts. But I will say the one thing that I've learned over building a relationship with you is you plant seeds. And when you plant that seed, sometimes it takes a while for it to sprout, but it really does. When I was going through becoming a life coach, like making that decision, like, you know what? Gino kind of saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So I have to resonate with that and I have to go with that. I have to trust that. I have to have faith in that because I had faith in you. And 5 years ago, there's no way I would have believed that I've come so far.
Mm-hmm. Let's backtrack to your early days when you joined the police force. You know, what made you want to join the police force and then obviously ultimately transitioning to the fire department and then ultimately retiring?
So back when I joined the police department, I joined extremely young. I was appointed to the force when I was 20 years old. So I was going through the process when I was 16, 17, 18 years old. Going through that process, I only had two things that really sold me on the police department at that time. And that was, I was making a good salary, a decent salary for an 18-year-old kid, and 20-year retirement. Hmm. So I was confused. I was like, retirement age is 62. I'm going to work 20 years and I'll be able to retire. I'll be able to retire by the time I'm 40 years old. That was like a bright shining light to me. And that's really why I became a police officer. The salary, the benefits, and the early retirement. Then after I was in that career for just a short amount of time, I realized what it was really all about. And it changed who I was. And then I was doing it because I truly wanted to help people. I hated when people were taken advantage of. And I was kind of that person's first line of defense.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you get into the fire department?
October of 2001. So I was the first class that went in after September 11th.
Wow. And how long did you stay with the fire department?
14 years.
And when you decided to retire and pack up and leave, what was the emotions? What were you feeling like?
The emotions were really strong. I knew that it was financially speaking, it was a good move to make based on the pension and the benefits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So financially speaking, it was a good move to make. For the family, it was a good move to make because now I'm removed from a career that could possibly eliminate your life, right? Like I could walk out of the house and not come home one day. That was it's real for everybody, but it's a little more magnified when you're in the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be around for the family much more. I didn't want to have to, I was going through a time where I had to ask for time off to go see my kid play football.
Mm-hmm.
I was going through a time where, and just like everybody else, like I wasn't different than anybody, but I was going through a time where I was playing basketball with my son in the driveway and it's time to go to work. We have to stop. I had to stop doing something that I really enjoyed doing. Mm-hmm. Just so that I could pay a bill,
mm-hmm.
right? That's why we go to work, to pay a bill. So I needed to transition out of that.
And Neil, if this may be a really unfair question to ask, but if you had to go back to that 16-year-old boy and say to him, there are different paths you can take. When you get to be a retirement age, listen, Neil, you're not going to want to retire. You're going to want to continue to grow. Would you have changed anything?
So it's a great question because when I was in those young years, I hated business, despised it. Business was, I was a blue collar W-2 New York City guy scraping by. That was the family. I didn't come from much. And I despised business because business took advantage of you. Business to me was used car salesmen and insurance brokers. Right, that was the limiting belief that was portrayed to me. So I didn't want to go that business route.
Mm.
If the one piece of advice that I could give my 16-year-old self was I would still go the police department and the fire department route, but I would also have a side business that I was working on and building up.
Mm-hmm.
Public service takes care of health benefits, which is a huge thing. It takes care of W-2 income, which is good for verifying loans and things like that. Business is how you get out of that W-2. So use the W-2 as a stepping stone to build the business. That's how I would do it if I was doing it again. Some people go straight into business. Nothing wrong with that nowadays.
Once again, it's around the people you surround yourself, whether it's good or bad. And I remember when Neil posted on his Facebook page when he changed his picture profile and he's sitting down at the desk. He looks really good. He's got a nice, powerful suit on. And I made the comment, bro, you look phenomenal. I love that pic. And there were other people on his comments that were saying, hey, are you the rich guy now? And it was just amazing. I think people make interpretations in life or they have a paradigm or a frame from which they look out of. And I think that's what Neil did. And for those of you listening, Neil is self-sabotaging himself from trying to create wealth and abundance by saying, I'm only this kind of person. These people here are really wealthy and they're evil. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil and not really understanding it. So be careful. I mean, people see life as the way they want to see it, not as it really is sometimes. Are there really bad wealthy people? Absolutely. Are there really bad poor people? Absolutely. I think money and wealth or lack of it has nothing to do with a person's characters or morals. It really has to do with the way they were grown up, with who their role models were. And then if they become really good at something, money is just a result of that, if they can understand that. So let's remove money out of it. And I do remember a lot of your friends were sort of half joking around, but half serious of where's the old Neil? I like the old Neil. And you're saying to them, there's nothing wrong with the old Neil. I'm just a transformed Neil that has a different mindset, that has you saying, I don't need to have this limiting beliefs. These are limiting beliefs. These beliefs are limiting my growth. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but that to me, it was one of those moments in my coaching career where I just saw the fact that you're putting something out there so positive and you're trying to really build a new person of yourself and trying to, you know, adopt a new mindset. And there are those in your life that are afraid of losing you. Your friends are afraid of losing Neil. Neil may get to be too wealthy. Neil may get to be too smart. Neil may not need me. And I don't think that's the way it has to be.
It doesn't have to be. So you touched upon a lot of great mindset things. So first, all of our behaviors, all of our beliefs, they're learned. When we're born, we're a blank slate. And it's family, society, external forces that paint that picture on our blank canvas. The beauty of that is that at any point in time, you can make the decision to take the canvas of yourself, get a can of white paint, paint over that whole thing, and create a new picture. So that was the first thing. The second thing was, it's their perception. You're showing people that everybody wants a better life, right? Everybody wants more money, a bigger house, more time off. Everybody wants to leave their W-2. Well, why don't you? And when you show people that it's possible, you're also showing them that they can do it, but they choose not to. And they don't register it like that. They don't register it that they're making a choice not to. They're just saying, well, this is life. Well, life happens for us. It doesn't happen to us. You don't get to control what life throws at you, but you get to control how you interpret it and the actions and responses you have to that. And it's in those responses that really set the course of your life. You get to create your life. Mm-hmm. Life doesn't create it for you. You get to create it.
I think the young Neil was a victim towards money, had no control or limiting beliefs towards money. And the older Neil said, I can get a canvas. I'm going to paint over those beliefs, or at least become aware of those beliefs. Most of us don't understand. We're living life at an unconscious level. We're making decisions just based on habit, based on being unconscious, and those thoughts keep popping up. And all you need to do is to look around and to say, not all wealth is bad, and not all poor people are great. It really depends upon the situation. And, you know, when you joined Jake and Gino, what were you expecting from the community, and what did you, I guess, get out of the community?
So I got so much more out of the community than what I was expecting. So I was expecting something very straightforward and matter of fact. How do I buy a multifamily dwelling? That's it. Like, what are the steps, right? Buy right, finance right, manage right. Like, what are the steps, the underwriting? How do I look at a property? How do I find properties? All of those pieces, that's what I was expecting. What I received was that plus the keys to the kingdom. And the keys to the kingdom really are proximity. I think proximity on the behind me on the wall, it says proximity is power. I think proximity is the unfair advantage. And I received mindset, how you look at the world. When you look through a different set of glasses, if I gave you my glasses right now, you wouldn't be able to read the pages in front of you because you're looking through a lens that isn't right for you. When we take those glasses away from you and we give you your glasses and you're looking through a different lens, all of a sudden things become clear And that's what mindset does. Mindset allows you to see the world differently through a different paradigm. And when you do that, the world just opens up, right? Money's not finite, right? There's plenty of ways of creating money. I attract money to me. If I win, it doesn't mean somebody else loses. You're right. I was a victim back then. And going back to when I was in Florida, you showed me a book called Energy Leadership. I actually keep it on my desk, Energy Leadership. And this is a book about the seven levels of perception. And that literally is the domino that sets everything else off. If you can get a strong foundation in those seven levels and a strong understanding of it and realize that, oh, hold on a second, I'm in conflict right now. Let me elevate myself. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing things happen. I mean, look, I wrote a book. I wrote a journal. And that journal is actually changing lives. And it just came out. It came out a couple of weeks ago. But it's already touching people and changing lives.
It's called Results Over Excuses. And in the journal, I'm actually filling mine out daily because I'm not a big journaler, but it's not a complex journal. What I love about it is today I intend to, things that I intend to do. Actually, I filled mine out yesterday. I wanted to have a good singing lesson. I wanted to bring the pain on a podcast, and I wanted to work on branding. Those are the three things that I really wanted to focus on. Then it says what I'm grateful for. I had a really nice dinner, no back pain. I'm feeling really good, and I'm really grateful for my blondies, right? And commitments. What am I committed to? Bringing value to the community, working and building an amazing brand, and recording a great short. That's what I'm committed to, recording, you know, shorts on YouTube and on Instagram. And today's wins, I've got the wins down here and I've got lessons learned. If you can create the rhythm and start journaling every day, it's very challenging. I know, and another limiting belief is going to come in. I'm a victim. I don't have the time. This literally takes 3 minutes in the morning. When you get up in the morning, don't go to your phone, go to the journal, start filling it out. And before you go to bed at night, watch 3 minutes less of TV and sit down and put some thought to paper and how the day ended up, what you did right, what you did wrong. And if you can get into that rhythm, that's what Neil's talking about. Neil's talking about habits. Neil's talking about mindset. Life isn't happening to you. It's happening for you for a reason. You need to document it and see what's going on. I know you can buy the book on Amazon or the journal on Amazon. Once again, I'm going to hold it up as Results Over Excuses. What did your family and friends say when Neil is now a multifamily investor and he's an author? You're a big shot, Neil. What's going on? I want to hear the feedback from friends and family.
So primarily, it's been 95% positive, right? And it's been that way because we kind of changed the people that are you surrounding yourself with. Mm-hmm. So primarily, it's people are reaching out to me saying, this is awesome. Thank you so much. Great production. I haven't received much of the Neil in the suit changing his picture. Oh, what do you think you are now? Because over the process, those people have dropped off, mm-hmm. right? There's a different proximity that I'm around now. And mm-hmm. that proximity is I provide support and positivity to them, and they support and provide the positivity to me. Mm-hmm. So it's been really good. And it's been inspirational because now, for example, the wife is starting to write children's books, and she's starting to, you know what? She wants to one up me, which is that little bit of competition is good. Like, go ahead, one up me. And then that's going to inspire me to do something even bigger than a journal or an addition to the journal, whatever it is. Like, you don't know what it is. You can't see that far down the path. You can only see a couple of steps in front of you. And that's okay because I'm going to go where the path takes me.
You had made a great point a little while ago. This was maybe even before I hit the record button about identity. Now, I used to identify as the pizza guy. That's where I was. And it was challenging in the beginning to get some traction with real estate, because I remember myself that limiting belief, what we say in coaching school, that gremlin, those voices in your head saying, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, who's going to talk to a pizza guy about real estate? And once I decided in the shed of my restaurant, when I was speaking to Jake on that cell phone, surrounded by pizza boxes and cans of tomato sauce, doing $10 an hour work, and I said to him, we're negotiating this $11 million deal. It's about time I start identifying as that multifamily investor. That's when I decided to stop hiding in the shed. And I decided now I am going to become a multifamily investor. And what that allowed me to do was I showed up differently. I started taking those actions of a multifamily investor, which is underwriting deals, talking to brokers, doing property tours, speaking to investors, putting deals under contract. All of a sudden, my mind shift changed from the one identity to another identity. Can you expand on that, Neil, please?
That's a great example of you created that vision for yourself. That vision was, I am a real estate investor. This is who I am. So you stopped referring to yourself as the pizza guy, and you started referring to yourself as the real estate investor. And then you ask yourself an extremely important question. What does real estate investors do? They contact brokers. They do property tours. They underwrite properties. They speak to people about real estate. And you started doing those things. And eventually what happened was you, in the beginning, I bet you felt uncomfortable kind of being that person. Am I an imposter? I feel like an imposter. I'm not really a real estate investor. I'm really a pizza guy. But as you took those steps and you created those behaviors and you carried out those behaviors, and those behaviors then started turned into habits, you shifted into the identity of real estate investor. And now when people ask you, so what do? I'm a real estate investor. I lead a community. I own X amount of units. This is who I am. This is what I do. For those people out there, can I give a real quick example of for those people out there that want to make the shift but don't believe they have the ability? You made the shift when you became married, right? You weren't a spouse and then you were a spouse. That's an identity shift. Because now you're starting to look at the world as, I'm a husband or I'm a wife. You made the shift when you became a parent. You made the shift. Everybody, just about everybody listening to this, is going to be have the ability to drive a car. Well, at some point in time, that scared you senseless. And you got behind the wheel of a car and you drove 5 miles an hour and you felt like you were going 60 miles an hour. But what did you do? You had a vision of being a driver, so you got into the car and you took the actions and the behaviors of a driver. I sat there and I drove the car. The car moved. And eventually, you got to the point where you became so comfortable that you just started looking at yourself as, no, I'm a driver. I can drive a car. Like, it's no big deal. And everybody goes through that. You go through it when you're a little baby. And you go from crawling to walking. You go through it when you are a toddler and all of a sudden now you're in school, right? And then you're in middle school, in high school. Then you make that identity shift when you go into your career. So you're making identity shifts throughout your life. You don't even realize it because you've taken micro actions prior to that so that when you step into that, it just seems natural. Mm-hmm. And it's no different right now. I'm a W-2 guy. I want to make the shift into real estate investing.
Neil, you had shared a story with me about the deal you did in Virginia Beach. What I loved about it was the, I guess, unintended consequences, or they should be intended consequences with your kids. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah. So it both was unintentional and intentional. So I intentionally went after the property. And when I went after the property, it was direct mail. So we did a direct mail campaign. It took 18 months, 18? 13. It took 13 months to when I first sent out the first mail to where I actually closed on the property. So it wasn't a quick process. But in that process, my son came to me and he said, "Dad," my son was doing Dave Ramsey's envelopes, right? He had an after school. He was 16, 17 years old. He had an after school job and we sat down and we did the envelope system. And one of his envelopes was called investing. And he came to me and he said, "Dad, I want to invest in this property with you." And I said to him, "Well, do you have any money?" He's like, "I don't know." He like shrugged his shoulders like, "I don't know." I'm like, "Well, what about your envelopes?" And then we went to his envelopes and he thought I was being the mean dad when I made him put money into envelopes and he couldn't spend it all, right? But we went to his envelopes and in his investing envelope, he had $500. So we took the $500, he invested it into that building, and now he gets I give him a couple of dollars a month as return on that $500. I think he's getting like $10 a month on the return of the $500. And what that does is it allows him to come into seeing what's going on. So now when we go down, if he goes down to Virginia with me, he goes to the property, he sees the property, he goes down there. When we first purchased it, he went down there and he did a little bit of work on the property, right? He's actually engaged in it. And what that property did was my other two partners are my nephews. So it physically changed the trajectory of the Shep family name. My one nephew is retired out of the Navy. He did 25 years in the Navy. My other nephew works for Verizon. So we're all in that blue collar community service aspect. But now we have realized, we have seen physically, tangibly with our hands that there are other ways of going about things. I still love blue collar. Like, I will always love blue collar. It's in the thread, the fabric of who I am. But in addition to that, add other streams of income into that. And now I've changed how my family looks at the creation of money. Mm-hmm. It's not just trading time for dollars. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. And that's another, you asked me earlier, what did you expect to get out of joining the community? And what did you get out of joining the community? And you can't put a dollar amount on changing the trajectory of how the family thinks moving into the future. It's mind blowing how my son is 19 years old and he's talking about cap rates and investing and where can I put my money for the best return and ROI. I had no clue when I was 18 years old about any of that. When I was 18, it was go to work, get a paycheck, and there you go. Like my father literally told me, go to work for the city, you'll never become rich, but you'll always be able to take care of your family. That was the mindset that was bestowed on me. And if I can change that mindset through examples, that's an amazing thing.
Wow. Neil, before we sign off, can you give the listeners some steps to get into multifamily? I mean, I'm stuck right now. I'm W-2. I have that blue-collar work ethic. I want to start securing more passive forms of income. How do I get into multifamily? What are some of the things that I should be doing right now?
I think my go-to answer is proximity. You need to surround yourself with other individuals that believe that multifamily is the answer. Mm-hmm. From there, you're going to find individuals that are actually doing multifamily. From there, you're going to find information on groups, additional groups, right? When I go to real estate meetups or I'm on a real estate chat forum, they ask me, "Listen, where can I go to learn multifamily?" Now, there's plenty of people out there, but I'm extremely biased, so I really only mention one place, and that's you. That's Jake and Gino, because it's been such a transformational process for me. So surrounding yourself, seeking out individuals that love real estate, then seeking out through that, seeking out groups. And I'm a big proponent of coaching. I don't believe that coaching is appropriate in the very beginning because you have to know specifically what you want that coaching in, right? Mm-hmm. So, but once I made the determination that multifamily was my thing, I then sought out proximity, and I sought out proximity through you. I found you through Bigger Pockets. I reached the one thing you didn't mention is Gino's so authentic that I'm from New York City. Everybody's got a scam. Everybody's got an angle, right? Like it's New York. And Gino would always say, just reach out to me. Ask me a question. You have any questions? Just reach out to me. And I actually reached out to him. I sent him. I don't even remember what email I sent him, but I sent you an email. And it was just like, I was just listing questions just to see if you were actually going to reach out to me and respond to me. And you responded immediately. And I was like, oh, this guy might be legit. And I reached out to you again. We just, the relationship just kind of built organically, but it built organically because of how authentic and vulnerable you were. Like you would say, I remember you telling the story of the Hammonds, right? I believe it was the Hammonds. You purchased that. And the septic field ended up going like the first month, and how that was a huge hit to you. But a lot of people don't talk about that side of real estate. And you were just putting it all out there. You were being very, very vulnerable and very authentic about the entire process. Mm-hmm. And that's what really attracted me. So just find individuals that are like that. It's not always rainbows and unicorns.
I wish it was, Neil. Neil, how can the listeners get a hold of you? I know you've got the book is out. You've got your life coaching going on. You want to do, whether you want to do events, where can the listeners get more information about you?
You can reach out to me directly at neil@neilshep.com. So that's my first name, Neil, N-E-I-L, and then Neil Shep, S-C-H-O-E-P-P.com. Shoot me an email. I'm really here to add value to people and to pull them up the mountain like you and so many other people did for me. Mm. Other people helped me. It's my turn. It's my privilege now. It's my responsibility now to help other people up that mountain. So that's it. Like, just reach out to me. If I can help you, I will.
We have a young Neil, 16 years of age, getting ready to become a policeman. He hears his dad constantly telling him, work for the city, they're going to take care of you. Easy peasy. Retire, you live off the city. 18 years old, becomes a policeman. In October of 2001, he's the first class, and he switches over to become a firefighter. And he's still a firefighter for the next 14 years. That means some days he leaves. His wife probably thinking to himself, is Neil coming back? You don't know. It's a really challenging business. It's a really challenging life. And Neil had that blue collar work ethic, never even thought about multiple streams of revenue. He was only focused on that one job until one day he got on Bigger Pockets and he didn't have that limiting belief that all money is created equal. All wealth is evil and all poor people are great. And once he broke that limiting belief, and he said to himself, let me dig a little deeper. I'm about to retire. I don't want to retire. I know I've got a lot of years left. I'm going to drive my wife nuts if I go home and stay home retired. So let me find something out. He connects with Jake and Gino. He goes down the multifamily rabbit hole and all of a sudden joins the community. And he doesn't just get buy right, finance right, manage right. He does, like he says, multiple times, proximity. But really it comes down to personal development and personal growth. And all of a sudden, challenging those old beliefs and being able to say, hey, you know what? I identified as that blue collar work ethic. I can still identify as that, but I can also identify as an investor. I can change the trajectory of my family through investing. And that's what Neil ended up doing. He ended up joining Jake and Gino, ended up continuing to invest in his education, and all of a sudden becomes a life coach. And before you know it, writes a book, has it on Amazon, and is continuing to grow his portfolio. Neil, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Any final words before we sign off?
Multiple streams of income. Like, go after it. It really, multiple streams of income, guys, is where it's really at. You need that. And if COVID didn't show that to you, then that was the biggest lesson of having multiple streams, because some streams got cut off right away and you just tap into your other streams. So I'm extremely grateful, appreciative, thankful for the community that you and Jake have built, because it really has changed the trajectory of my family. And I'll never be able to repay that as much as I feel that I should, but I greatly appreciate being here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. The only way you can really repay it is to repay it forward and to help and impact other people's lives. I want to thank the listeners just for spending part of the day with us, taking time out of their day to listen to Neil's incredible story, to listen to what the Jake and Gino community has to offer. And we will see you all on the next Movers and Shakers show. Thanks, Neil.